Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. It's the same as the Bhagavad Gita, which is a lot easier. Yad yad acharati shrestas tatad eva juna. Anyway, purport. Now it says, a similar verse is also found in Bhagavad Gita 3:21. It is essential for human society to have a section of men perfectly trained as qualified brahmanas according to the instructions of Vedic knowledge. Those below the brahminical qualification, administrators, merchants, and workers, should take instructions from those ideal people who are considered to be intellectuals. In this way, everyone can be elevated to the highest transcendental position and be freed from material attachment. The material world is described by Lord Krishna himself as dukalayam, ashashvatam, a temporary place of misery. No one can stay here, even if he makes a compromise with misery. One has to give up this body and accept another, which may not even be a human body. As soon as one gets a material body, he becomes deha brit, or dehi. In other words, he is subjected to all the material conditions. The leaders of society must be so ideal that by following them, one can be relieved from the clutches of material existence. Yad yach charishan ya charitam tat tat anuvartate loka. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivase Sisanyavadi Prasthachade Satarane. So, in read some of the purport. It is essential for human society to have a section of men perfectly trained as qualified brahmanas according to the instructions of Vedic knowledge. Okay, this is nice. Prabhupada wanted to establish Brahmins. I actually talked about this at Faneuil Hall. And Boston was the first place where Brahmins were initiated within ISKCON. So he talks about this many places, about how human society is... you know, there's the different parts. The Brahmins are the head of society, Kshatriyas are the arms, the Vaishyas are the belly, and the Shudras are the legs. And they're all important, but you have to have a head. It's the most important. You could live without arms, you could live without legs. I don't know how you live without a belly or a stomach, but they probably can have something artificial. You live without a finger. But the head is the most important, and this is what was lacking in society. Now, there were certainly intellectuals, because Prabhupada mentions intellectuals, but what makes a Brahmin? First of all, he has to be an intellectual, he has to be intelligent, but a Brahmin follows certain principles. Now, as devotees, one can act as a Shudra, as a Vaishya, as a Kshatriya, or as a Brahmin. And he can be a Vaishnava, which is even higher than a Brahmin. So he can act in so many different ways. But for Vaishnava, they follow certain principles also. Even though they may act differently as far as their occupation is concerned, they still do certain things. Now, how do we do that? In past ages, I'm not even going to get into what the Vaishnavas did or what the Brahmins did, but now, practically, what do? We have these temples. What does a Brahmin do? Brahmin, oh, he preaches, he performs sacrifices, he does deity worship, he cooks for the deities. But I think, more importantly, the Brahmin does the same things that everyone else does. He gets up for the morning program, and he comes to the morning program. We had Adam here this morning. I was talking to him for a while, and he never wanted to say it. I mentioned something to him, and he said, yeah, I've always thought about that. You know, where are the devotees that live at the temple? How come they don't come to the morning program? Which is a really good point. You're supposed to be Brahmins. You're supposed to be setting an example, and you have people living outside coming to the temple, and you don't go to the morning program. What do they think? I remember with Kalakanta talking to him about how to establish the thing. He said, first of all, anyone who's not going to the programs, you have to get them out of the temple before you can start making devotees. Because otherwise, then they all follow these same examples. They think it's okay to do this. So a Brahmin in ISKCON would go to the morning program, providing, you know, at least if he lives at the temple, he has to go to the morning program. And of course, he has to chant his rounds, and he has to do all these activities. But now, we can be a Vaishnava and still not be necessarily a Brahmin. We can act in so many ways, as a Kshatriya, or administrative, or we can be a Shudra. We can do Shudra work, but it's not any difference. If he's seeing he's doing it for Krishna, he's doing it for Krishna, it's the same. Just like when in India, when Prabhupada was talking about the Brahmins who were bathing and dressing Krishna Balaram, and they're bathing them and they're cleaning them. And then there's the person who's sweeping and mopping the floor. And he compared the floor is white and black marble. Krishna Balaram made a white and black marble. It's no difference. There's no difference between the two. The devotee who's doing the floors, the devotee who's taking care of the deities. We make distinctions because we're on this bodily or external platform. We think one thing is better than another. But spiritually, there is no difference. Just like Lord Ramachandra, when, I don't know, a squirrel, a spider, whatever it was thrown in some rocks to make the bridge. And Hanuman is thrown in these huge boulders and said, basically, you know, get out of my way. You know, I got this. I'm doing so much more. And Ramachandra said, no, Hanuman, he is pleasing me just as much as you are pleasing me. So it doesn't matter how much we do. It's the consciousness in which we do it in. So here, this is a little bit about the Brahmins. And of course, in the previous verse, Vanashram Dharma, and we have to try to establish these different varnas. So we should take instructions from those. We should take instructions from the ideal people. So the ideal people don't just say it, but they follow it. That's ideal people. Acharya teaches by example. Here, what you're doing, even if you're not doing it for you, even if you don't need to do it, when one is liberated, when one is a pure devotee, he doesn't have to follow anything. He can do anything he wants. But he follows certain things to set an example for others. So if we want to try to make devotees, we preach and we don't set the right example, then that's not going to be very good. People will follow that example, at least the people that you preach to, who will become convinced about Krishna consciousness through you, and then you don't follow the right example. So for those ideal people who are considered to be intellectuals, okay, well, this is, we should take instructions from the ideal people. An ideal means practicing what you preach. So in this way, everyone can be elevated to the highest transcendental position and be freed from material attachment. The material world is described by Lord Krishna himself as Dukalayama Shashvatam, temporary place of misery. No one can stay here, even if he makes a compromise with misery. In other words, there's some misery, but I still like it. It's great. You still can't stay. Still got to go. I mean, even Indra, when he was put into a hog's body, he liked it. It was nice being a hog. And then it was time to go back to being the king of heaven, and he was reluctant. I don't know. I'm happy. I have my wife. She might be a little fat, but I like her like that because he's a hog. I have my little piglets. I'm happy. So what did Krishna made arrangements? So the farmer killed the wife, killed the piglets, and then he realized, oh, this is not a nice place. So similarly, even if you're kind of happy in your material situation and you like it to go on forever, it's not going to be the same. Your wife who you love so much and is leaves you, and it's not a nice place. You'll have to see. If Krishna cares about you, he'll make your life a little miserable just so you come to your senses. So no one can stay here even if he makes a compromise with misery. One has to give up this body and accept another, which may not even be a human body. And that's, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, that's the greatest fear, is that you come back and you start all over again from a jackass or some other species or even a germ. So fortunately, we are fortunate. We are guaranteed we'll get a human birth just for making some spiritual advancement. And everyone who's a devotee of Krishna has made some spiritual advancement. So we get at least a human birth. But then we still have to suffer birth, disease, old age, and death. Even if you're born in a Vaishnava family, which is considered to be the greatest birth, greater than birth on heavenly planets, greater than birth in rich aristocratic families, a Vaishnava family. So even if you're born in a Vaishnava family, you still have to suffer. It's not that there's no suffering. So as soon as one gets a material body, he becomes Dehabrit or Dehi. In other words, he is subjected to all the material conditions. The leaders of society must be so ideal that by following them, one can be relieved from the clutches of material existence. So that's a good leader. You follow them, you do what they do, and then you become relieved from the clutches of material existence. Okay, I'll read the verse again, which everyone knows this verse, maybe not from the Bhagavatam, but from the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. Any comments or questions? Well, I'll read the next verse. Did you already write this on the board? Oh, that's good. Although Lord Rishabhadev knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge, which includes information about all types of occupational duties, he still maintained himself as a Kshatriya and followed the instructions of the Brahmanas as they related to mind control, sense control, tolerance, and so forth. Thus, he ruled the people according to the system of Varnashram Dharma, which enjoins that the Brahmanas instruct the Kshatriyas, and the Kshatriyas administer to the state through the Vaishyas and Shudras. They administer to the state through the Vaishyas and Shudras. Okay, very nice verse that he himself knew everything about Vedic knowledge. He's an incarnation of God, Krishna, in a different form as Lord Rishabhadev. But still, he set an example. I'm a Kshatriya, I must listen to the Brahmins. So he listened to the Brahmins, although he knew, of course, even better than the Brahmins. Purport. Although Rishabhadev knew all the Vedic instructions perfectly well, he nonetheless followed the instructions of the Brahmanas in order to perfectly maintain the social order. So this is what he did. He did his duty. So we have to know what our duty is. Once we know what our duty is, that's actually 50% of the problem, is knowing what I'm supposed to do. Once you know what you're supposed to do, the next 50% is to get yourself to do it. So we're fortunate that Srila Prabhupada made it easy, at least some basic principles that we know we have to follow. And then particularly what type of service I should do. And this might take longer, but we do whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna directs us to do a certain thing. And he directs to his representatives. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm not telling you got to follow this. But when Prabhupada was on this planet, pretty much everyone accepted whatever their temple president said, that was coming from Krishna. And so much got accomplished. It's when people challenge everything, you can't get much done. And the temple presidents may have been a little off sometimes about something, but still, Krishna, had let them get good results because they worked really hard and they were sincere. Even if one person was off, still the others were not off. An example is when there was a devotee in New York who people were thinking was a very great soul, and they'd do whatever they had to do for her. And anyways, it's kind of a long story, a bad chapter in ISKCON. And then there was a few people who were not thinking she was a great soul. And they asked Srila Prabhupada later on when it was revealed and she was kicked out, who was right? The devotees who were against her, who were challenging her, or the devotees who just did what they were told? And Prabhupada said they were both right. Because if somebody's off and you can see this is wrong, and then you have enough intelligence. But he also said, Vijaya Dvaita, he should have known better. So it seems like the higher position is you actually see this person's off. But if they're not off, you should just do what they say. You're totally protected. It's when you're seeing something spiritually wrong with this person. There's some spiritual deficiency, not some material deficiency. Materially, we all have deficiencies. But when there's, we all have spiritual deficiencies too. But if it's a serious deficiency, then we shouldn't be taking advice from that person. Or at least we should question it. We have a nice society that, some people may say it's not a nice society. I think it's a nice society. It's set up by Srila Prabhupada. And there's some checks and balances. If you're not satisfied with something, you go to somebody and you can complain to them about it. Some authority. Of course, people may say, the authorities are corrupt. I don't. There may be some. Even that Prabhupada said that when he had the GBC, when he was president. He said, some of you may be fallen Maya. But all of you to be in Maya, that would be more rare. So he established a bunch of GBCs. So even if one or two of them are in Maya, I'm not saying they are, but even if they are, when Prabhupada was here, he said that's understandable. But for all of you, that would be not. So it's a safe bet when you have a whole bunch of people and they're making decisions. And we can go to them if we have something that we think is important, and then they can deal with it if they think it's important. Bhadri Narayan recently, probably about a month ago, wrote a really long letter that the GBC should do something. He said a lot of things, but the basic point was to try to establish Varnashram because Prabhupada wanted it. And to start by talking about it. What can we do? That's the beginning. So the word Brahma means perfect knowledge of all activities. So here it just means perfect knowledge. So one may have perfect knowledge but not follow it. And this knowledge is very confidentially described in the Vedic literatures. So there's jnana, And then there's vijnana's application, applying it. So real Brahman, because according to the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvanya Maya Shrestas, Guna Karma Vibhaga Saha, Guna, qualities, and karma, work. So according to your qualities and your work, that's what determines if you're a Brahman. Not just you have the knowledge, but you have to work accordingly. If you really have knowledge, then you're going to use that knowledge and act on it. So the word Brahma means perfect knowledge of all activities, and this knowledge is very confidentially described in the Vedic literatures. Men trained perfectly as brahmanas should know all Vedic literature and the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general populace. So they should know all the literature and they should distribute this knowledge. So general populace should follow the perfect brahmana. In this way, one can learn how to control the mind and senses and thus gradually advance in spiritual perfection. So, translation again. Although Lord Rishabhadev knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge, which includes information about all types of occupational duties, he still maintained himself as a Kshatriya and followed the instructions of the Brahmanas as they related to mind control, sense control, tolerance, and so forth. Thus he ruled the people according to the system of Varnashram Dharma, which enjoins that the Brahmanas instruct the Kshatriyas and the Kshatriyas administer to the state through the Vaishyas and Shudras. So the temple president would be more of the Kshatriya, and he would listen to the Brahmins, who would be generally, I mean, in ISKCON, it would be more the GBC, because the GBC establishes the rules, and just like Karuna says, she has to read the GBC resolutions, what they decide on. So we have to follow those principles. We may think differently about certain things, but if the GBC feels a certain way, then we have to agree with that. Of course, we can always be stricter than the GBC. The GBC body, this is. But we'd have to do at least that. Okay, so any comments, questions?
What is the plan? Because you mentioned Badrinarayan Maharaj, yes, like the letter about Varnashrama.
Right? Yeah, he just sent it, as far as I know, to the North American leaders.
I just want to know, because I probably don't see that the whole picture, so what I see, like, it devotees, they try to establish it, yes, like they develop farm communities like this, that. So what should be like the...
What he meant was that we have to discuss it to find out what it means. We don't know. No one has a clear idea.
What is your idea about?
My idea is foggy. My idea is to start with something, try to be more self-sufficient. But that doesn't solve all the problems. I mean, you could have a bunch of people working on a farm, you have a commune, but it's still... I mean, and you can have Brahmins, and you can have Kshatriyas, and you can have Vaishyas, and you can have Shudras, and you can all work together. But to me, that in itself is not going to change anyone else besides the people who are in it. It's not going to get the people in the corporate world to think, oh, wow, maybe we should do this. Work like anything. So many hours working really hard and having just surviving. You know, you got your food, you got your place to live, and you got something to wear, some clothing, shelter. You got shelter, clothing, food. Nothing else. You don't have all this sense gratification. You have all this opulence. You can't just go fly to India. You don't have any money, you know. I mean, I don't see how, so I don't have a very clear picture of how or what exactly Prabhupada wanted us to do. We can set an example for the devotees, but I don't know how that's going to change society.
So your idea is that it should be discussed more.
This is, you asked what Bhadri's idea, and I agree with that. We should get some Brahmins, some intellectual devotees, smart devotees, to discuss this. I have some few little tiny points. I'm not an intellectual devotee. I wouldn't be one of these smart people who could read all this stuff that Prabhupada said and try to filter out what are we supposed to do. But there are devotees in this kind that are very intelligent. And they're the ones that should be doing it. So basically, I think that the GBC, who are not necessarily intellectuals either, some of them, maybe most of them, I don't know, but can find within this movement devotees who are more intellectual and study Prabhupada's books with that one goal, finding out what is Varnashram Dharma, what does Prabhupada want. We don't care what anybody else wants outside of what Prabhupada wants. Prabhupada, he said everything is in his book, so we have to be able to read his books and try to come to some conclusion. And I think that we should do that. They should get a team of devotees and work on finding that out. And then just bringing it to the GBC, and then the GBC would have to discuss whether we want to try to implement what this team of devotees have said. And how to implement it.
Isn't the goal of the Devi Varnashram is to better preach to the ordinary people who are not devotees yet?
I don't know. I don't know what the goal of... I mean, it's ultimately a system so that anyone can follow it, and ultimately you'll be happy now and you'll be happy later. You go back home, back to Godhead. I mean, my opinion is it's for the devotees, but there are so many different types of devotees. So this way, all the devotees can have like a community and working, rather than a community where everyone has jobs, going out and coming back, working, but we work together. We do farming, we do building, we do stuff. I don't know how that's going to attract most devotees. We're not going to be attracted by that. I'm a computer programmer. I make $100,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And I work so many hours a day, and I have so much spare time. And I could do so much with $100,000. And now I have to give up that job, and I have to work on a farm and I have my bare necessities. That's it. It doesn't seem like, why would I do that?
I think it's more of for starting up with the devotees, and then parallelly along with the devotee community building up, the preaching is also going on. And then when the preaching goes on to the non-devotees, and slowly and gradually they're convinced of the philosophy, and then they come in.
Okay, if it's for the devotees, I'm talking about a devotee computer programmer. Most devotees nowadays are computer programmers. I'm talking about they're already devotees. Now you still got to switch them. Do you switch them from that to this? I don't know. You don't. What's your opinion?
I have like idea that I'm asking, because I see that Varnashram is not only about the farms and self-sufficient in case that all devotees who are ITs, that like, because now they see on the internet like Skandazarathin that they also develop some devotees communities who work in one field, and then also they can have company where only devotees work in future. So that's
That. To me, that is practical. I mean, in a sense, it's easier to do that. So basically, devotee business, but that's still, it's still not the...
So probably for a programmer, it's not very convincing to leave $100,000 job just to say, well, I'm going to get devotee education. Okay, no. I get it in the evening.
He needs to recognize devotee's nature. If devotee is inclined towards certain work, then they will be happy. They will be happily, like there is a Bhakti Vikasha Swami's community, that devotees leaving their very fancy jobs and they're doing what you said, and they're happy because that's their nature. But the key is to recognize the nature, not to enforce it on anyone.
Well, thank you for your 2 cents. Of course you got to know their nature, but at the same time, if it's my nature, I mean, most computer programs are very smart people. I mean, most of them are. So are they going to be the Brahmins and who knows what? How do you engage them?
Mostly people who make big money, there is also some Kshatriya nature, because to make money you have to have that vigor. To be a manager, you have to.
To be a program, you don't have to have some vigor.
You have desire to make money. Because usually Brahminical nature doesn't include, like, only if, like, you need that money to serve Krishna and some others, like...
I don't know. I think everybody wants to make money, you know. Why not? Who doesn't want to make money? If you're going to work...
For different goals, like, different intentions. Like, I want money for that.
Okay, you want to finish?
Well, the community is not just farmers.
Not what?
Even like you have a factory, right?
You have a what?
Factory. There's a head of the factory, and then...
You're talking about in devotees?
Yeah, like this is an example, right?
Okay, so that's similar...
Everybody, just the workers. So in this community, it will be workers, there will be teachers, because there will be school system, there will be a medical system, there will be so many systems. So again...
Okay, so what you're saying is similar to what she's saying, that we practically do almost the same things if that's your nature, but we establish our own businesses.
Yes, kind of like that, but the key is starting from the... Key is starting from young kids to recognize their nature.
Yeah, I know that.
Raise them in a certain way that, you know, you're happy with... Like, our goal is not earn, like, so much money.
I mean, obviously, that shouldn't be our goal. But at the same time, okay, we have this business now. How much that might be what Prabhupada wanted us to do. I have some doubts about that. Because all we're doing is the same thing, just doing our own business. It's like you can open your... It is better, as a devotee, to start his own business, be in charge of a business, than work for somebody else. So the difference is you have your own business and you have devotees working for you rather than karmis working for you. So the devotees are all participating. I mean, it may very well be. To me, it's the simplest way. It makes sense that we could do that. That's feasible. My way, what I think... I don't have one clue how to practically do it. I know you have these, you have Brahmins, you have teachers, you have so many things. But how do you live? How do you get paid? Do we use money? We still use the same money? I would think if you have a business, you have to use money.
That's why it's development. That's why it starts with children.
What do we start? We find out the children's nature. That's not so difficult to tell. But after you find out their nature, how do you engage them?
They will be engaged when they get proper education and proper, like, schools, gurukulas arranged by devotees. They grow up non like.
If you don't have a certain engagement for them, you have to have certain services. What do they do in Varnashram Dharma?
They will organize the service.
Okay, so leave it up to them. No, I don't think so. I think we should start something now. What?
It's not so easy, because when you see, like, these big communities, Mayapur, right? Everybody's struggling there, because as you said, we need money to survive in this material.
It's very hard. It's not easy. I like the idea of starting our own businesses, so we're separate. We're still in society. You're still going to have to pay taxes. But at the same time, we're at least somewhat independent of the rest of society. But the businesses. So you start a computer program. What kind of business is that? I mean, I understand what kind of business it is, but how is that going to, how is that being in, at all self-sufficient? When, for instance, if there's a big war and there's nothing, what are you going to do with your stupid computer programs when there's not even electric and there's, and I'm finding, like, in a lot of the Indian people, they can't do anything except, you know, stuff with their brain. And if you're in a situation like, for instance, Y2K, what everyone was predicting was going to happen, of course, fortunately, by Krishna's mercy, it never happened. But if that happened, they can't screw in a screw. They're just not hands-on like that. In a situation, it's useless. This big education doesn't do you any good at all. So we need to train carpenters. We need to train. I mean, these are practical skills that you would use in any situation. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I like the discussion, but I really think this is for some really smart devotees should try to figure it out. But I do like the ideas, and it's fun. It's good for just using your brain to try to think of it, think of these things, and then try to think what's wrong with that, you know. But I hope we start something now, and we don't just wait and let the kids figure it out.
And just because devotees that engaged according to their nature, that doesn't mean that everyone will be engaged in that. Those who just more just on discussion topics about pure devotion, they will do that. But our minds, that's the field.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying that.
I don't understand the words. I'm not saying I don't agree. I don't know what you said.
You have different frame of mind, yeah? So yeah. Some devotees, they just want to discuss the Krishna's pastimes. They will continue to do that.
Right.
And some devotees, they want to develop varnashrama. They're inspired from the heart. So they will do that. Everyone will be happy. Because some devotees, they're not happy for now to discuss Krishna's pastimes. Or every time, 24 hours a day. Does it mean they're not devotees?
No, you could do anything. For Krishna.
In this way, all devotees can develop in Krishna conscious society.
Anyway, Varnashram has not been established, and we have to try to do something. And I'm all for trying to establish it and doing something about it, but I'm not the person to come up with what the structure or the vision of how, of what it's going to be like. But the closest thing I've heard is just today is, like you mentioned, we start our own factories. We don't want factories, because Prabhupada was against factories, but businesses. If we do our own businesses, that's a little bit independent from the rest of society. And devotees have a lot of businesses already. So anyway, I don't know. Rishabhadev, we should study this and maybe come to some conclusions. Even no matter how advanced you are as a devotee, you can act in any way. Rishabhadev is the Lord. He's a Kshatriya. He has to listen to the Brahmins. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.